Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2007. A reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says Koheleth. Vanity of vanities. All things are vanity. Here is one who has labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill, and yet to another who has not labored over it, he must leave property. This also is vanity and a great misfortune. For what profit comes to a man from all the toil and anxiety of heart with which he has labored under the sun? All his days, sorrow and grief are their occupation. Even at night, his mind is not at rest. This also is vanity. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
You turn man back to dust, saying, Return, O children of men, for a thousand of years in your sight are as yesterday now, that it is in the past, or as a watch of the night.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
You make an end of them in their sleep. The next morning they are like the changing grass, which at dawn springs up anew, by evening wilts and fades.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Fill us at daybreak with your kindness, that we may shout for joy and gladness all our days, and we may be gracious care of the Lord our God be ours. Prosper the work of our hands for us, prosper the work of our hands.
If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. Put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. He replied to him, Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator? Then he said to the crowd, Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, What shall I do, for I do not have space to store my harvest? And he said, This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So we thank you for joining us another week here on your Sunday Reader. This week, as Brian says, we're in studio, but both Brian and Father Mark have left me. They've gone on vacation. So I've roped in some willing and unwilling volunteers, some members of our youth group, and Nora, who has joined us before. She's here again. And so we're going to reflect on this week's readings, and so it's a little bit of a change, and we hope you enjoy it. So, guys, what from today's readings, what word or phrase or ideas really stuck out for you?
That when you hear God's voice, you should listen and kind of like, because it will help you a lot in your life.
So that from the psalm today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that psalm a lot because, Megan, you had some interesting, what did you just say about that?
Oh, I was wondering, how it says, you know, if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If we think of hearing God, why would we harden our hearts unless he's convicting us? So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I think we probably all experienced that convicting moment when we knew that God was asking us to do something and we were dead set against it. That would be the hardening of the heart part. I, of course, have never experienced that.
Of course.
Megan, what else struck you today?
In the second reading in Colossians, I like the part where it says, put to death then the parts of you that are earthly, and it lists off a bunch of sins that we may encounter in our life, but I like how it says put to death, not just set aside, you know, just destroy it immediately, because it's not of God. That's not what he wants for our lives.
That's pretty cool. I like that too. Mm-hmm. Nora?
I had a couple. I love the line about some you labor over and acquire property, but it's not, you leave it to somebody else. And in the gospel reading about the man who, you know, thought he was being smart and saving lots of things and storing things up, is kind of, it's a wake-up call for us that sometimes what we think is important really isn't. It's not what God, it matters to God. And that we run around and do a lot of things to be, you know, that really you don't need to be doing.
Like Martha.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That was just 2 weeks ago. That was the Martha and Mary sermon. I like all these gospel readings we've had in the last probably 5 weeks are all from the Gospel of Luke, and it's Jesus' journey. He has set his face towards Jerusalem. And so first he starts talking about, you know, this way's not going to be easy. And then we have the parable of the Good Samaritan, and then we had Martha and Mary, and, you know, and now we're hearing this. And you can really see that Jesus is trying to teach his disciples something. It's not just fluff anymore. And it never was fluff, but it's definitely not. He's trying to impart all this wisdom.
And convict them.
Yes. Ugh, that. And they were probably all like, oh, this is so great. They had no idea what's going on. So what about that proverb that says money can't buy happiness? Do you think most people believe that proverb?
No.
No.
All the fancy boats and cars and people and have in Hollywood and stuff as we stereotype, but definitely they think they can buy happiness.
They think they're happy, but they're not truly happy.
Why are they so easily convinced that money will make things better, do you think?
It's the media that just drives it on people. It's a temporary satisfaction.
You know, a few weeks ago I was taking this class. It was called The Changing Family. Anyhow, the guy that was teaching it, he was saying in families today have lots to combat different problems than there were before, and one of them is consumerism. And he put it this way, which I thought was interesting, that we spend a lot of time thinking about all the things that we have. You know, I have a laptop, and I have, you know, a cell phone, and I have this, and I have that. And when we're done thinking about the things we have, then we start thinking about the things that I could buy. You know, I could really use this and I could use that. And then when we're done thinking about that, we think about things we could buy for other people.
and because, you know, we're so generous and things. So we spend all this thing thinking about things, and we end up with no time to spend in an encounter with God that can bring real transformation to our lives. And I thought that was just how we put it was so great, and I really like that thought.
Yeah. So while we're talking about consumerism, let me just ask you guys, what is your favorite commercial, or what convinces you to buy things?
All those late night food commercials.
Oh, yes.
Gets me really hungry.
Yes, very nice. Yes, anyone in particular do you like?
Not really. I like them all.
I like the Dean Martin variety show infomercials when they're on at 3 in the morning. I'm so tempted to grab my parents' credit card and just try and buy it.
I think you need to get a life. Are you an impulse buyer, or do you not spend money unless you plan to spend it? What type of spending are you guys?
I'm about planning. I don't just spend it because I feel like it.
Yes.
I have a reason to buy it.
That's awesome. I'm not like that, unfortunately.
I'm kind of both. Like, yesterday, we went to the mall, and I wasn't really planning on buying anything, and I ended up getting, like, a CD and a book that I haven't listened to or read yet, and I don't plan on. So, I don't know.
You know, I recently heard about, in the news, about a group of people, I can't remember where they were, but they took a vow, they vowed with themselves, for 6 months they would buy nothing new except for food and medicine. So anything that they wanted to buy, like clothes, either they traded within amongst the groups, or they went to like the Salvation Army or, you know, Goodwill stores like that. And any furniture they needed, they also did that way, or they just didn't buy anything. And at the end of the time, their purpose, I should say, was to environmental, to become more aware of the things that we use and we don't need for the environment. But they ended up at the end, when they could go out and buy things, that all they thought about is, well, why do I need all this stuff? What do you guys think about that?
You can kind of see the truth in that, because most of the things we think we need, we don't really need, because once you get to heaven, it's not really going to matter.
Nora?
Oh, me? I think a lot of times we justify our own minds that we need things, that we need to, you know, buy the latest because we come up with reasons. And when you make a deliberate decision not to purchase, it's kind of like during Lent when you know, fast from certain things. When you first started, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not going to make it. I need this. But then as you do it, you realize a lot of things you really don't need in your life, and it causes you to pause and reflect. And oftentimes for myself, when I have fasted from things, whether it be purchasing things, it gives me an appreciation of that decision and what I need to do and what I don't need. And
realize what you can live without.
Yeah.
But it's nice just to go to the mall and buy something.
That temptation.
And we have to question, you know, yes, it is nice, but we also have to question. We have a garage sale, lawn sale at St. Mary's every year, and they make a lot of money off of it, but they only price things like nickels and dimes. But it's always mind-boggling to see the amount of stuff that people donate. And a lot of it is brand new or very little used.
Or once used to be of great value.
Yes, and all the discards of people. We're talking tractor trailer full of stuff, storage.
Yes, it's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming.
It definitely convinces you don't need any more stuff if you help them set up for it, because, you know, there's cups and there's plates and there's clothes and there's books, and it's just so much stuff, and you realize, oh, I've lived all my life without all this stuff. I don't think I really need it. Plus, then you have to pack it up and get rid of it.
But I really need a record player.
Yeah.
So there's that bumper sticker that says, whoever dies with the most toys wins. I recently saw another bumper sticker that I realized was a comeback to that, and it said, whoever dies with the most toys still dies. And that, I think, was sort of the point of the gospel reading. Well, not the point of the gospel reading, but it was one of the insights to the gospel reading that, you know, we can think of, we'll have this one and we'll have that and I'll use it, you know, you can justify it to yourself. I'm really good at justifying things that, well, I might not use it right now, but in 3 years I will really need it. And so, and that's like this wealthy landowner. And so, you know, we're just hoarding what we have instead of sharing it with everybody else, the people that really can use it.
One of the things that for myself I often sometimes do is if I have something that I really like and I use it a lot, I'll buy a second one just in case. In case the first one wears out or breaks or something like that. And I questioned myself. I realized when I kind of like had two potato peelers and two sweaters exactly alike and things like that. I you know, why I was doing that. And to me, and I realized it was a lack of faith in God, trust in God, that He will provide for me whatever I need when I need it. And so maybe all these things I didn't need to have two of or even one of, because it really wasn't showing, you know, wasn't demonstrating my faith in God to provide for me in the way that He needs to provide for me.
That's really good insight. And I think that's also important to remember. God's not saying that we should have nothing and we should live on bare rugs, and, or not bare floor, but He wants us to be happy and to enjoy life. But He's saying, don't go overboard. You know, share your excess with the poor and trust, just like what you're saying, trust that He will provide. So,
with that in mind...
Yes, Megan. With that in mind, I think that will conclude our podcast for this week. We thank you for joining us and invite you to come back next week as we discuss the readings on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week, and God bless.